there's no place like home for the...
Two friends on the couch of summer nights. Horror flicks bringing out the fright. Sipping soda, laughing at the scene. Fat boy summer living out our dreams. Here we are in the glow of the screen. Just two fat boys living a horror dream. Midnight snacks, popcorn in the air. Chasing shadows without a care. Cracking jokes, making memories. Late night horror, just you and me. In this golden world we own the night. Two fat boys in a summer light. Laughing loud through the scary scenes. Handful of chips living out our dreams. With every jump scare we scream and shout. This fat boy summer's what it's all about.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays. It's Fat Boy Summer. Boy, this resort's really has gone to shit since we left.
I know. Almost didn't want to come back.
Well, looks like the zombie apocalypse happened while we were gone.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of missing children's posters like posted around the poolside. Like the wait staff is acting really weird, constantly talking about brains. Hey, get out of here. Anyway, sorry, I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy, and this weirdo will not stop. Jay, I think we got an incel on our hands here. Will not leave me alone. He's telling me some woman's skin is super soft. Ugh.
God. Jeff, that's a different movie.
That's P2.
That's P2. We're doing Fat Boy Summer
movies.
This
guy's here.
What's he doing? God, get back where you belong.
It's almost like we had a break in between these episodes, Jay.
And it doesn't make any sense. Still standard. Man, P2 for our 2-year anniversary, and then Jack Frost in the middle of Jack Frost 2 in the middle of Fat Boy Summer would have been perfect. Boy, we're fucking idiots.
We're
dumb as shit.
We're real bad at this, aren't we, Jay?
Yeah. Oh, well, let's continue to be bad at this, Jeff. Let's dive in to Frogman.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe the movie that has been the most anticipated by you and I since we heard it existed and knew nothing else about it.
Indeed. If you're a real sicko pervert, you've heard about the Frogman on cryptid episodes before.
Yeah. Love the Loveland Frogman. This did nothing to tamper my love for the Frogman. Released March 8th, 2024. Written and directed by Anthony Cousins, who is also has Frogman Returns in pre-production. More on that at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And also directed segments for both Scare Package movies. Have you seen any of the Scare Packages on Shudder?
I saw Scare Package 1 and thought it was pretty good. I saw Scare Package 2 and turned it off like 15 minutes in.
He did the segments that are, I think they sound like they're kind of Halloween themed. Mm-hmm. It's like okay. Part 5 and Part 7 or something like that are the names of the segments.
Hmm.
Also written by John Carsco, who wrote those Scare Package segments. We've got Nathan Timashuk, who is Dallas, and he will be in Frogman Returns. Chelsea Grant plays Amy and was in the Scare Package segments. And rounding out our three lead actors is Benny Barrett as Scotty.
Scotty.
Old Scotty. Toussaint Morrison, who plays Dallas's brother-in-law, maybe named Ben. I couldn't quite catch his name.
Yeah, probably.
We last saw as David in 13 Slays Till Xmas. What, like our second ever episode?
Yep, something like that.
In the segment Dear to Santa. I don't even remember which one that one is. Listeners, write in. Remind us which one that one is.
It's the one where the reindeer's trying to break into the cabin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like the killer reindeer monster.
Okay. Oh, that was a good one. Tagline, the croaks are no hoax. I love it. Reminds me of my favorite, one of my favorite current wrestlers, Timeless Toni Storm. And she'll say stuff, blah, 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 blah. Like, this broad is no fraud.
Indeed.
Like, she has catchphrases like that. So the croaks are no hoax reminds me of Timeless Toni Storm.
We were cheated, Jay. I just want to put that out there. This movie is built on a falsehood. It was actually filmed in Stillwater, Minnesota.
I know. I saw that, too. But, hey, Anthony Cousins, if you're needing two fat guys to show up for Frogman Returns,
oh yeah,
we're more than happy to drive up to Stillwater, Minnesota.
Indeed, we're not that far.
Where to watch? Tubi, a bunch of the free places.
Yeah, Screambox I think has it.
Also,
get the Blu-ray.
You can buy a Blu-ray from Terrorvision.
You should.
And get all iron. Well, mine has the cool packaging because I bought the deluxe edition. I think the other ones have regular packaging, but also has a different cover, which is a bit of a bummer. I enjoy the woods, and then the woods making the Frogman outline on them. I think that's a pretty cool cover too.
Mm-hmm.
This one has the frog tongue and the wand that shoots sparks out of it from the lore of the Frogman.
Exactly. Yes, Frogman's famous wand.
Yeah.
I think he's an alien. What? What about him having a wand makes you think he's an alien?
I mean, it could be alien tech. I don't know, Jeff. Personal experience. I think we just kind of said it. Yeah. We'd heard this movie existed and went, man, we got to see Frogman.
This is a perfect one-sentence review of this movie, Jay. I don't know.
Do you have anything else?
What was it? Let me see. I had some. We said the Stillwater, Minnesota thing. Oh, I saw that it originally came out at Popcorn Fright Festival in August. And I was like, I wonder why it didn't blow up and get picked up by somebody. That seems kind of odd. Usually, like, you know, like Shudder or one of the streaming services would pick something like this up.
No, this seems like the amount of people who loved this movie, I'm surprised it wasn't a bigger deal. Like, they got the Terrorvision distribution, and I think that was pretty popular. I think people who wanted it got it. But yeah, I've not heard a ton of people talk about it. A lot of people I follow, this was probably one of their top 10 horror movies of last year.
It was shot on a Hi8 camcorder, and then it was ported over to VHS. That's what gives that beginning part that grainy look.
Okay,
so it was achieved naturally, not through like a special effect. I thought that was pretty interesting.
I enjoyed what they did with the artificial or I guess not the artifacting and stuff like that. I thought it worked pretty well in this movie.
I also liked he did the making the guy holding the camera an actual cinematographer in the movie's lore, so that way he didn't have to do the weird shaky cam stuff.
Yep,
and I appreciated that as well.
Yeah, you only get a handful of shaky cam stuff, and it's not too bad, which is always a plus. All right, well, let's do our synopsis here. We see some old family videos of Dallas, his sister Lizzie, and his parents on vacation. They stop at a bridge and stretch their legs, and Kevin, their dad, asks if they could be any aquatic creature, what would they be? Dallas says shark, and Lizzie says jellyfish. Notably, neither of them say frog.
I know, weird.
I was thinking one of them would say frog, and that would be also, our lead-in.
Also, are they trying to imply that dad killed himself because his mom is such a bitch, or what?
The camera cuts, and then the family is lost, and everyone's yelling at each other. And Dallas gets out of the car with the camera and is like filming stuff. And then he sees a large humanoid frog in the bushes watching the family argue.
He's just chilling. He looks like if someone took a picture of me sitting by the side of the road.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Cut to Jeremy J. Raising skirts and IQs, bringing another episode of Monster Soup.
Oh, yeah.
A YouTube series. He is talking about the Loveland Frogman and about Dallas's video saying it's a hoax.
Hoax. Bullshit. My bullshit meter's going off, Jay.
And also, there's another famous Loveland Frogman picture taken by George Hale. And I think one of my favorite things is, like, he mentions these two, but then he mentions Dallas, and he's like, you know, made this when he was 12. Look at all the other movies he made. It's like clips from like one of Dallas's other movies, and it looks terrible. And it's like, what makes you think a 12-year-old could pull that off and then get that much worse? Yes, in like 6 years?
I got worse at hoaxing, Jay, as I got older.
Dallas flips the camera around and says he's going to find Frogman before his brother-in-law interrupts him and says he's been living in their guest room for 2 years and he needs to move out. Also, I love that the cereal he's eating is like Froggy Pebbles.
Yeah.
Thought that was great.
That was good. Yes. I did. I enjoyed that when he's like, oh, no, I know you guys said I could stay here for a little while. And he's like, all right, we said you could stay here for a little while. It's been 2 years.
What was the other line? There was one where he was like, I'm eating breakfast. And he's like, it's two in the afternoon. Yes. And he's like, I just woke up. It's breakfast for me.
I feel that being a night shift guy, former night shift guy, but still, it is the afternoon.
I would always tell people, I'm like, yeah, I'm having Popeyes for breakfast. And they're like, I don't know, Popeyes did breakfast. I'm like, if you don't eat breakfast until like 11 a.m. when Popeyes opens, you can have Popeyes for breakfast.
That's right. Life hack.
We see Dallas rifling through junk, and he finds some tapes and a camcorder. Dallas informs us that he is going to get irrefutable proof that Frogman is real, but he can't do it alone. But luckily, his cameraman is also his best friend.
I can't do it alone. Luckily, I won't have to.
Cut to Scotty, his best friend, saying no, and saying they'll talk more about it at Amy's going away party.
And then we find out that Dallas didn't know Amy was having a going yep. away party.
At the party, Dallas doesn't want to be there. Scotty says they should stay for just one drink. Cut to Scotty now being insanely drunk and like dancing on tabletops.
Wasted.
Dallas and Amy, Amy comes over and talks to Dallas, and they, she talks about him avoiding her, and she talks about moving to LA, when a drunk Scotty wanders up and agrees to do the film and then convinces Amy to come along as well. They get the old band back together.
No, Dallas, I want to go to LA and be in real movies, not like yours.
9 a.m. the next morning, Lizzie tries to talk Dallas out of going, but he says, you saw it too, and she starts to cry, and they hug. Amy and a hungover Scotty arrive, and they depart for Loveland.
What romantic tension? There's no romantic tension, Jay.
I had this thought the whole time. I'm like, I wonder if, like, Lizzie thinks that Dallas is going to kill himself. And honest. I wonder if that's why she was so worried about him going. Yes. And I wonder if that's like why his friends agreed to go along.
Honestly, I think it's either that or maybe it's just that he's so consumed by this, he can't move on from it even all these years later.
Yeah.
I mean, that could also break you emotionally.
And then if he doesn't find the Frogman, that was my thought, was like, he's going to find out that the Frogman's not real and then he's going to take his own life or something.
My life has been a lie.
In the car, Amy wants to know what her angle is, and after shooting a couple ideas around, she settles on being a country singer writing a song about the Frogman. But she doesn't look like a country singer, so they have to stop at a Western Wear store.
I'm with Dallas on this one. Do we really have to stop?
Exactly. Scotty sleeps in the back, but the camera records as Amy and Dallas talk about the time they slept together, and Amy says it was a mistake, and Dallas kind of agrees, although it seems reluctant.
I was going to say, well, it seems reluctant from both of them, because she's like, it was a mistake.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, I guess if you say so. It's like, oh, yeah, these guys sound like two people who are totally over each other. Yeah.
They arrive at Loveland, taking some sights, get some ice cream. The lady at the ice cream stand talks about some people are frogs and some people are rats. Mm-hmm. I don't quite get what she was saying, but all right.
She's flirting, Jay. She's saying she wants some of that rat.
And they get a room at the Bullfrog Bed and Breakfast, and Gretel, the lady at the front desk, tells them to check out Frogman Point around dusk, and that's when the Frogman will be there.
Oh, thank God.
Which you would think, if this was, like, common knowledge,
yes,
more people, like, I don't know, the government would be posted up in Loveland.
You would think that if the Frogman was commonly there, that guy who was doing the podcast at the beginning would have went there and seen the Frogman.
Right, exactly. they all party for a bit in their room, and we watch some clips from one of Dallas's other movies. When Dallas leaves to go to the bathroom, Scotty mentions to Dallas that he wasn't asleep, and he heard the whole conversation, and that Dallas didn't think that him and Amy hooking up was a mistake, but Dallas comes back and the conversation is cut short.
Yes. Amy's like, what did he say? I mean, I don't care, but what did he say?
The next day, Amy is interviewing people. One guy mentions that Frogman can read minds, but Dallas wants it to be serious. He doesn't like this whole country singer angle. So he goes and does the interviews himself. And at one point, someone says he's a gaping asshole. Yeah.
Cult? I'm not in a cult. Who said cult?
Some locals talk about a cult of the Frogman. Frogman being known to take a maiden. and that the wand may be used as a sex thing.
He's definitely taken a maiden or two in his time.
Are you saying Frogman fucks?
Frogman does fuck, Jay. He does. And apparently he also has his Hitachi wand handy.
Then we cut to Scotty saying, is it an ancient god? Or an ancient alien, maybe? Or is he just a big frog trying to get his rocks off? Who gives a shit?
Yes, and more accurate than you'll realize later on.
Dallas finds a cave entrance, but can't fit in there, but it's like underneath the town.
You know where he could fit in there, Jay? If he didn't have these damn arms.
They stop by the Sticky Tongue, a Frogman-themed gift shop.
With the greatest merchandise of all time.
And a Frogman expert that works there. We see all sorts of different Frogman shirts with slogans like, MILF, man, I love Frogman. Others, but that's the best one.
Yes, that's the one.
Dallas also sees a flute that can be used to summon the Frogman. Amy tells him not to waste his money. And then the scene is cut short. We can assume. Dallas wastes his money.
On that and a hoodie.
They arrive at Frogman Point. On the way there, Amy mentions a large police presence. I thought this would pay off more.
It
really didn't. That was kind of disappointing. It is dark, and Amy and Scotty are losing patience. Uh-huh. But then Scotty sees something moving off in the distance.
You missed a very important plot point, Jay.
Oh.
You have to pay $5 to get in to see the frog.
Oh, yeah. You have to pay $5 to go
Dallas
to Frogman.
Dallas does not have $5. So Scotty's like, well, I guess I'm making $995 for this job instead of $1,000.
But after Dallas chases him down and everyone chases down the Frogman, turns out it's just the loser from the gift shop.
Yeah.
And then Dallas is so mad, he throws the Frogman mask into a tree. Well,
when I saw the Frogman out of the corner of the camera, I'm like, I really hope that's not the real Frogman, because that looks terrible.
Dallas goes and yells at Gretel, the lady who owns the Bullfrog Inn, and her demeanor kind of changes, and she gets really, like, she seems very sweet and nice. And as soon as he, like, starts, like, questioning her and bringing stuff up, like, she gets very cold. And, like, granted, sure, she's being yelled at, but also it seems like she might be hiding something.
Mm-hmm. But it's also, his escalation doesn't make a lot of sense, because it's like, she could just be, like, a random old lady who just sends people out there. She may not even know what they're doing out there.
Right.
This is a pretty big jump to assume that she's the mastermind of the fake Frogman.
She then tells them to leave town while they still can.
That's not ominous at all, Jay.
No, of course not. No, everything's going to be fine, Jeff.
Jay, there's no... Listen, Jay, Frogman fucks, but there's no cult. There's no cave system under the town. We're not all members of it. Just leave it alone. Just leave town.
Frogman doesn't pick brides and trap them in weird cocoons.
He does not have a history of using his weird wand thing to trap women, Jay. Doesn't.
Dallas says he's not leaving, and now they are driving to George Hale's house, the guy who has the other credible Frogman images. But the sheriff pulls them over and also tells them to leave town. But Dallas pushes on to George's house.
Disobeying authority. For shit.
Tisk, tisk. They arrive at George Hale's house. George is kind of a cantankerous, angry old man. But he tells them, like, the story of his picture. He and his friend were out picking mushrooms, and they got dark, and they made their way back to their cars. And when he turned on his headlights, the Frogman was looking in his windshield at him. And that's how he snapped the picture. Dallas then asks again about the cult, and George gets upset, but says, after tonight, it won't matter anyways, and gives Dallas a map. Also, a couple other things. George gets upset when they ask about his granddaughter, and he mentions all the people in town aren't as excited about Frogman as everyone else is. So there's some kind of divide about Frogman.
Oh my god. You're telling me there's two different sects of the Frogman cult, Jay?
I was like, is this some kind of cult of the thorn situation?
You just see me in a robe down there and I'm like, everything's got to be fucking political, doesn't it?
They go to where George gave them on the map, and they start shooting. Dallas finds some green ooze on a tree, and as they are walking past it, Scotty accidentally trips and touches all of it.
Nice.
Don't stay. Did they learn nothing from Black Christmas 2019, you gotta watch out for the ooze.
Nope. Nobody ever watches out for the ooze, Jay.
The goo? I don't remember what we called it. I think we called it the goo, because that sounded grosser.
The goo.
They stop, they set up a camp, and Dallas is unable to get the campfire going.
So, of course, Amy's gonna go look for firewood, but they all stare at each other for like 3 seconds before that, and then she's like, I guess I'll go get some dry wood then.
Scotty goes to lay in the tent and tells Dallas to tell Amy about how he feels. Instead, Dallas pulls out the frog flute and plays it. Ugh. Which there's a euphemism in there somewhere.
Yep.
I'm just gonna pull out the old frog flute here and play it by myself.
Indeed.
And suddenly, like, all around them, like, the frog noises kind of like pick up, like nature kind of picks up in general.
Frogging intensifies.
He wakes up Scotty and shows him frogman tracks that he found. Scotty and Dallas start fighting, and when they get back to camp, they find more ooze on the tent and that Amy is missing.
Oh no.
Dallas is able to find her, and she's in like a catatonic like state. She's just standing there, like her eyes are kind of glazed over, and she's just staring off into the background, into the middle distance.
Supposed to look at Frogman's wand too long, Jay.
She then, like, they're able to, like, break her out of this trance, and she kind of wakes up screaming. She says she heard someone calling her name in her head, and that, you know, she's shocked to learn that she's been missing for an hour. She's like, I just left to get firewood. That was a couple minutes ago. Like,
weird. Hope this is not some sort of Frogman speaking in your mind situation, Jay.
Oh, of course not.
I've heard he can do that.
Frogman's telepathic.
She's like, I heard somebody calling me in my mind.
They run off into the woods because Dallas thinks he sees something, and the camcorder starts malfunctioning, which Dallas says is telekinetic interference. Amy's phone dies, and she's using it as a flashlight, and I think to get extra shots.
Yep.
And when Scotty is able to get the light on the camera back on, Frogman is hanging upside down behind them and hisses. Amy screams, and Scotty runs off, seeing multiple frogmen in his mad sprint. He hides, turning off the light, and when he turns it back on, Frogman attacks and chases Scotty off screen, and then we see a flash of light.
Oh my god.
Amy and Dallas find him, and they head back to their vehicle, and as Amy is starting the vehicle to speed away, we see another Frogman looking in the sunroof at them.
God, they really love to do that.
Dallas checks the footage and sees Scotty got footage of the Frogman, and he says, we did it.
I know. It's, one friend is dying of clearly some weird disease, and the girl he loves has just been scared out of her mind. We did it, guys.
Possibly, like, possessed. Certainly had some kind of, like, psychic episode.
We did it, guys. We did it.
At the bullfrog bed and breakfast, Dallas wants to confront Gretel. And Scotty goes into the bathroom, and we see he's got, like, a bunch of, like, warts.
Boils, something
like,
on him.
Forming, like, yeah. On his face and, like, on the back of his hand. And then he goes and he pukes off camera. Thank God we don't have to see that. he then comes out, and Amy is trying to convince Dallas to leave, but Dallas keeps saying that he hears chanting. Dallas and everyone else follow it to these two big, like, imposing wooden doors. And he and Scotty go, but Amy just says she wants to stay at the bed and breakfast.
Oh, my God.
The doors lead to a tunnel system, and they track through it for a while before they discover a girl being dragged in front of a group of masked cultists led by Gretel, the lady who does the bullfrog in.
Oh, my God. Don't forget they're doing a nice Latin chant, Jay.
And when she starts chanting, the girl's eyes glaze over, and then Gretel says, just like Amy's did, Gretel says, they will be bound in holy matrimony, and we see a frogman walk out of the tunnel behind her towards the girl.
Hopefully you produce many polywogs.
Yep. Out walks a frogman, but gunshots are fired, and George Hale, the guy who said it would all end tonight, starts shooting, and he takes the girl away and he rescues her, and then a bunch of the cultists also see Dallas and Scotty and give chase.
Ah, yes. And at this point, I'm like, that's cool that he's doing that or whatever, but it's like the swamp is full of frogmen already.
Yep. Scotty and Dallas are seen, and they run, bumping into a frog cultist, and then they find Amy, who heard the screaming, so came into the tunnels instead of, I don't know, hiding somewhere, yeah. Leaving.
Yeah, you know.
They hide, and when they think they've been passed by, Scotty turns the light on the camcorder back on, and we see these big, giant, like, spheres.
Oh, my God.
That are all, like, gooey and, like, fleshy. And inside one, they find George's granddaughter, who's pregnant.
Oh, God.
And then she starts screaming and gives birth to a baby frogman.
Finally.
And the umbilical cord's all, like, gross. And yeah. Oh, it looks great.
It's nasty.
Scotty drops the camera, and when Amy turns the light on him, his eyes are big and his warts have spread to like all over his face, and he runs into the tunnel.
Is he turning into a frogman?
Or that weird cult, we saw a cultist with like weird deformed face.
And he's turning into a frogman slave.
Yep. The camera then starts to malfunction, and we see the frogman shoot his wand, just like in the legend.
Sprays him with his wand, Jay.
I assume, and like we get a bunch of like weird like clips of like things not adding up, and I'm not sure if this is supposed to be like the telekinetic, like the psychic powers of the frogman, like are also manipulating the videotape. So we're seeing
maybe, yeah. Say the only thing I could think is maybe you're seeing like some imprints of like what he's projecting into Amy's mind or something like that.
And but when Dallas comes to, he sees Amy being dragged away, and he chases her. And we see the frogman with his tongue, like, wrapped, like, cocooned around Amy.
Yes.
Like, pulling her away. Dallas shoots the wand and is able to get Amy out of the tongue, and they run off.
Unsurprisingly, Jay, frogman's tongue game's on point.
They run into George, who leads them to safety, and then he goes back in to try and save his granddaughter. They don't have the heart to tell him that she just gave birth to a frogman baby.
Yeah, and probably died.
Dallas is happy. They kind of like make it back to the road, and Dallas is happy that they have proof, while Amy has a breakdown and sobs.
Your best friend just died.
We fade to black, and the words, "Authorities refuse to take this footage seriously," appear on the screen, followed by, "Scotty Fontaine is considered a missing person. Amy Matheson currently lives in Los Angeles, California. Dallas and Amy haven't spoken in over a year. George Hale and his granddaughter were never seen again. After that night, their whereabouts are unknown. Frogman is still out there."
Frogman.
And then we get a shot of Scotty, like, kind of goofing for the camera, and it says, "For Scotty" on the screen.
Yeah.
And then it says, you know, directed by Dallas Kyle. And then we hear a bunch of applause, and it's a screening of the movie of Frogman.
Yeah.
And,
like, they left all that in the movie of Frogman?
I know, I thought that was really weird. And then the guy at the screening is like, "And here's Dallas Kyle, the director!" And we cut to Dallas sitting backstage as the guy keeps calling him out to the stage, and Dallas just sits there, kind of like a glazed look on his face.
He's been Frogman.
Frogman, credits roll. We then hear the applause again, and we come back to Dallas, who reaches into his pocket and pulls out the wand, and it starts to glow. Credits again, but and then at the end of the credits it says, "Frogman will return."
Dun dun dun.
End of movie. End of Frogman.
Frogman out.
But Frogman will return in Frogman Returns.
Hopefully.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, anything else about the movie that I missed, Jeff, or you want to mention?
Just that I need to reiterate this for anybody who might not have caught it earlier. Frogman fucks.
Frogman fucks.
Apparently quite a bit, judging by the amount of frogmen out there in the swamp.
Well, how about we squeeze into the Speedo, Jeff? How about we talk about our favorite sets, costumes, etc.?
Indeed. Let's do it.
All right. Man, I thought all like the weird body horror effects were awesome.
I thought the frog, especially the frog baby effect, that looked like something like John Carpenter would have done.
Yep. I loved the stuff in the Sticky Tongue gift shop. I loved all the shirts.
That was good.
I wish I'd written more down.
I liked the guy who was totally not in a cult. He looked like a guy who was in a cult. I like that.
No, I'm a good Christian man. Like, I thought, like, you know, costuming, like, I think it's probably just people wore what they wore, but, like, none of the costumes looked bad.
No, everything works. I mean, the Frogman worked pretty good.
I'm curious to know how they did the frog, because, like, you can tell, like, a lot of the stuff is practical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious, especially with the budget and with the, I think part of the idea of making it found footage is you kind of have the constraints, or you can kind of, like, explain away, like, hiding the Frogman and stuff like that. But I am interested to know, like, when you actually do see how they made the Frogman.
I'm guessing it's probably in a lot of the scenes a puppet, because of the way it moves, like, kind of slow and awkward.
But yeah, that was one thing where I'm like, I would love to know. And I have, you know, I have this deluxe edition DVD. I did not get a chance to watch the extras. I'm sure it gets answered on those, probably. But I did not get a chance to look at those.
People were kind of divided on it. Some people are like, I like the way the Frogman looks. Some people are like, yeah, he looks cheap, campy. It's like,
I mean, you know, I don't know. You're watching a low budget horror movie. Well, I'm not expecting.
I was like, if you're expecting a movie called Frogman to have top notch special effects, then I don't know.
Anything else? Sets, costumes, soundtrack, etc.
Even though it's not actually Loveland, Ohio, I thought it was a nice recreation of the town from the pictures and stuff I've seen of the actual place. Looks like they did a pretty good job.
And it seemed like a place you would want to visit. I've not kind of done any research one way or another, but like I kind of liked looking at. I was like I could see that, knowing that it wasn't. I'm like, I could see that being part of Ohio. I could see that being. You know, I could see that being the town of Loveland, like, instead of Stillwater, Minnesota. Like, I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
But like you said, yeah, they kind of hit it or masked it well. Like.
Yeah. I definitely, if I didn't know, I would not have guessed it was filmed in Minnesota.
How about Song of the Summer? Favorite quotes? I've been itching to get to some of these quotes.
Go ahead, Jay. Unload some of those quotes.
All right. First and foremost. Frogman fucks.
Yeah, I had that one in capital letters at the top, Jay. Frogman fucks.
In fact, he has been known to take a maid here or there. And then Scotty goes, are you saying Frogman fucks?
Is he an alien? Is the wand some sort of technology? No, I don't think so, but maybe.
Maybe. What if I saw Frogman when I was a kid, but no one believed me? So then I am coming back 20 years later to prove he exists. This is Amy trying to find the angle for her character. It's Scotty. I don't know. It's a little pathetic.
Yeah.
And then they focus on Dallas driving, trying not to like snap at his friends for making fun of him.
Have you all heard about Frogman Point? Here, take a car. He comes out round dusk. It's like, okay, well, that'd be useful information to spread, probably.
Right. It'd be more useful to have, I don't know, multiple people talking about it as opposed to the one lady at the bed and breakfast.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to make your money on Frogman.
My last one. If you were anything, if you were an aquatic creature, this is their dad, then Lizzie, Dallas's sister, jellyfish. And then the dad goes, jellyfish? So you sting people. With your sharp teenage bitterness.
Yep.
I felt that. My oldest isn't even a teenager yet, and she's getting some of those teenager...
A fish. Shark's not a fish. Yes, it is.
I like that, too.
I had that was my last one.
All right, which one do you want to do next, buddy?
Let's get into the summer spirit.
All right, hot. How summery is the movie? How summery? Should we do kills or should we do like almost like the scares? Yeah, the scares/kills.
Yeah, the atmosphere. I'd say it's very summery in both because, I mean, they do a good job of making it look like it's hot, swampy mess out there when they're going to look for the Frogman. And, I mean, it's essentially at the beginning when he first sees the Frogman and in the second part of the movie where he's an adult. It's a road trip movie, and you don't get much more summer than a road trip movie.
That was my thought exactly. I'm like, it's very spiritually summery.
Yes.
Like, it is friends going out on a road trip, family going out on a road trip, especially in the first one, dad wanting to have his camcorder out and record everything, feels very like 90s.
Yeah, so it gave me, like, the way that their dad acts at the beginning and reminded me of, like, Chevy Chase's character in Vacation.
Oh, absolutely. the kills, not really, you don't get a ton of kills, but I would say the scares, especially when they are out in the woods, the scares are very summery. Like, you're running around, like, you know, you're just getting glimpses of this of these frogmen, like, hiding in the woods and stuff like that. I'd say that's pretty summery.
It's nasty. It's swampy. Obviously, it has to be summer because otherwise Frogman would be dormant like the amphibians are in the winter.
So Frogman returns. He goes back in the winter to try and destroy the Frogman because he should be dormant.
Yeah, he's dormant underground in the cave system that's totally not under the town. And there's no cult.
Frogman Christmas.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So, where Frogman Santa.
But yeah, I'd say the atmosphere of the movie, I give a high summer feel. Not really any kills to speak of, like we said, but
scares
I'd say scares middling. Yeah,
yeah. Like, you know, you get some good like jump scares like in the tunnels as well. Mm. Like when, but like, you know, and like you get kind of the gross and the goopiness of like the frogman baby and the frogman cocoon or whatever where they've trapped the women. But like more it's the like, but in the woods especially, that's the thing that I think feels the most summery.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, well, are you ready to talk about one thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise? Bummer summer and wet hot American summer.
All right. You want to start or me?
You can start.
All right. My bummer summer is drop the love story. The whole will they, won't they love story where they're both pretending they don't like each other, even though they both obviously do, has been done so many times. It's giving me a migraine when I see it. And it would have been okay if it had actually gone anywhere, but it literally adds nothing to the story.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the same position at the end, other than Dallas confessing his love for her.
Because
he didn't think he'd get another chance.
Yes, they don't get together. So it's like, there's literally no point to doing all that.
My bummer summer, I know why, like, they did the whole thing with the telekinesis garbling the tape and whatever. You know, it's to hide the limitations of not only the budget, but also of the found footageness of the movie.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I would have figured out maybe when Amy gets tongued, I would have maybe found some other way to kind of, like, distract that. Like, I think you and I kind of talked our way into an explanation of, like, the Frogman's psychic imprint appearing on the tape.
I mean, that's what Scotty says is doing it, so that's just what I went with, because he's like, it must be telekinetic interference or whatever. But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a problem in almost every found footage movie, I think, where that happens, where the creature shows up or whatever, and then it's blurry all of a sudden.
Yep.
Yes, it's annoying, and like I said, we talked about it a little bit, but that could have been my bummer summer, is I would have almost liked to see this as a regular movie and not a found footage movie.
I said this off the air. I would love to see Frogman Returns be a Blair Witch Book of Shadows and just be a full on cinematic movie.
I mean, you could have still done the found footage segments or whatever, just have those sections be through the camera or whatever, and then have the rest of the movie be filmed like a normal movie.
Yeah. Well, then especially with the weird, then kind of cinematic ending. I think that's kind of what makes it even weirder.
That's kind of what I was worried. It's like, so it is a regular movie at the end, and it has a plot from beginning to end. It's not a usual found footage movie where it's a bunch of people wandering around doing nothing. And it's like, it doesn't really make any sense for them to restrict themselves, other than, I guess that's probably all they could afford to do. Because you can get away with stuff in a found footage movie you wouldn't be able to get away with in a regular production. So I'm guessing it was probably more of a financial choice than a creative choice.
What's your wet, hot American summer? What's the thing you want to praise?
I kind of struggled with this one because there was a lot of things I like to praise. But just the way that they pulled off the small town place you want to visit charm of Loveland, well, the fake Loveland in this. But I enjoyed the way they had the town set up. It made me feel like I wanted to go there and see the gift shop or stay at the Bullfrog Inn, you know, meet all the wacky characters around town. I thought it'd be like, go out to the Frogman Point and see the guy in the terrible costume. Seemed like they did a really good job of making this seem like a place I would like to go see.
No, I'm so disappointed that I can't do those things because that was awesome. I'm right there with you. Yes. I thought that was great.
That would be a great Horror for the Holidays trip episode if we could go do something like that.
We'll go up to Stillwater, Minnesota. We'll be like, this is where they shot that scene.
Yes, of course.
The famous, oh, we're here for the Frogman tour. Tour of the movie Frogman.
I wonder if they have anything like that gift shop in Loveland.
They've got it, right?
Like, yeah, you would think so.
Like, the amount of, like, Bigfoot stuff that is just anywhere near, like, wooded areas and, yes, like, mountains. Like, you've got to think around Loveland, they've got to have a Frogman thing.
We need to do some research. Maybe we need to take, like, a Frogman road trip.
It's also, like, all same kind of deal. You know, locally, we have the Van Meter Visitor, our giant pterodactyl that shoots lightning out of its face or whatever.
Of course, yes.
And, like, other than Van Meter Visitor Fest, which I think has only been going for a couple years now, I don't, like, Van Meter itself hasn't really embraced the whole, we're Van Meter. Like, which, this is where
if I was on that city council, that shit would be all over the place.
Oh, absolutely.
Drawing in tourism.
I'd be fucking promoting it all. I'd be pushing. I'd be like, no, more visitor stuff.
I'm rigging up a drone to look like a pterodactyl, fly over the town at night.
Shoot lightning bolts at people.
Exactly. You get a Tesla coil up there.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not impossible.
thing I would praise is, and this is going to sound like, you know, this is kind of a thing I already kind of said, you know, I know I could have, you know, if I had had more time, I would have watched the Blu-ray thing. But I'm amazed at how good the Frogman looked. Like I said, I want to know how they did it, because, like, you've got the small budgetary constraints, and I was almost expecting, oh, we're not going to see the Frogman. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be implied the whole time. And you're going to see, like, the transformations on the people. Like
a Blair Witch style thing.
Yep. And so, like, when you saw it, I was like, yeah, it looks a little weird and it looks a little clunky, but I'm like, but it doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
Like, and I was really kind of impressed with that.
Yes, they had the balls to show the Frogman, which, yeah, I was kind of with you. I'm like, is there ever going to be a Frogman in this other than that awkward shot at the beginning?
Yep. All right, Jeff. Well, it's time to do our final rating. Every episode of the Fat Boy Summer, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it summer lovin'? Is it some like it hot? Or is it a cruel summer?
Cruel, cruel summer.
Leaving me here on my own.
All right, we don't want to get copyrighted.
Yeah, sorry.
We're singing too well, Jay. They might mistake it for the original.
Oh, they got Bananarama on this episode.
I went with Some Like It Hot. I didn't think it was... It's not particularly scary, although they do a decent job, like, keeping up the suspense throughout the movie. I'm not going to say it's, like, not anything.
Right. But it's not The Leech, where you're just kind of... Or, like, White Doomsday, where you're just kind of, like,
dreading
what's going to happen. You're just more like...
It's like, you know nothing good will happen.
It's more of a, like, oh, what's going to happen next? Yeah,
this one's more of a curiosity-inducing film, I would say, than a dread-inducing film. And it's just really... It's campy in a way, like, you know, if you've seen a found footage movie, you're going to recognize a lot of the tropes in this. Although, like I said, they're done well, but I mean, it's stuff that has been done before. And it was enjoyable, but I didn't think it really rose to the level of being like an instant classic, like some of the ones we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like I said, I'm curious to see when Frogman returns, what that will be. Maybe with a little bit bigger budget, probably.
Oh, I hope so.
And, I mean, like I said, I recommend this movie, but yeah, I would put it at Some Like It Hot.
If you're not a found footage fan,
yeah,
like, even with the, you know, oh, we've got an actual camera operator, that's part of our thing, so we can explain away some of the, like, oh, there's not as much shaky cam stuff.
Yes, it's still got, like I said, it's got the tropes.
Yep.
I mean, there's going to be the, why didn't they just leave at this point thing, like there always is.
No, I'm right there with you. I went Some Like It Hot. I think there's like some moments of some real heart. Like I said, I think like Dallas's like mental state is already really fragile at the start of this movie, and like his just infatuation with Frogman is overriding a potential relationship with Amy. And, you know, just and you know, even moving on with his life. It's almost like he hasn't moved on. And so I think like that's real interesting. I think there's also some genuine comedy moments.
Yes.
The Frogman fucks. The Man I Love Frogman t-shirt.
It's definitely a solid movie.
Dallas, you know, catching the fake Frogman, and the guy's like, oh man, you threw my mask into the tree. Like, and then it's coupled with, you know, real good effects and just a genuinely great idea. I honestly, when we were joking about the Frogman, like a year and a half ago, I never thought we'd get a Frogman movie.
Yeah.
And turns out we did it. It's awesome. You know, I'm not the biggest fan. Like, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of that shaky cam kind of found footage style. Really, not the biggest fan of found footage in the insofar as like the sense, Blair Witch Project, Paranormal Activity, I'm a bigger fan. I think you are as well. More the lost media aspect of found footage.
No, that's what fascinates me for sure. Is like, yeah, this is something that was like unearthed, and that's another reason I put this in Some Like It Hot and not higher, was because the ending I felt like kind of cheapened it a little bit, making that whole thing was his documentary or whatever, and then they screened it at this film festival
where like WNUF. You know, those movies, that Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah.
I'd even say probably Wreck, the zombie, like that's more like lost media. And I think that's kind of the stuff I like, even if I think Wreck is a little more like this.
That other one? Blackwater Vampire, I think it's called.
I don't think I know that.
That's
one.
A good example of a found footage movie.
I know there's, so apparently there's like a yearly found footage festival.
Mm.
And I heard there's one coming out this year. Like it's screened there, and I don't even remember its name. Maybe it's called like, maybe it's even called like Lost Episode or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it is an episode of Cops. Like that is the kind of the conceit. Okay. And I want to say it's like Halloween night, and maybe there's like a demonic
thing
involved. And I'm like,
that's cool.
Oh, I want to see that. That seems like a thing. That seems like the thing for the spooktacular.
But yeah, this being like ending up being a mainstream consumer movie product, he's like debuting in LA or whatever. I felt kind of like that's a weird ending for this.
My final line, man, I love Frogman.
Man, I love Frogman too, Jay, and not just because he fucks.
Yep, but because he's great. Because he shoots lasers out or sparks out of his wand.
Frogman is good because Frogman is great. There, I Clinton'd you.
Well, Jeff, well, we're getting sand in our buns.
No.
We're wrong. We don't know what we're talking about.
Nah, this isn't a solid middle of the pack movie, Jay. It's actually dog shit.
Yeah, this movie fucking sucks. I've got four, but there's two that I really want to do. So it depends on how many.
I have up to five I could use, so we could do all four of yours if you want. All
right, sure. Do you want to go first and we'll kind of back and forth?
Let's do it. The Frogman is an amphibious assault on cinematic standards.
Ooh.
This is from Academic Snobbery.
Of course, yeah.
Anthony Cousins' Frogman is a found footage film, quote unquote, that dares to ask, what if we took the entire vocabulary of the 1990s camcorder culture, added a half-baked cryptid, and then lobotomized the audience for 80 minutes? Despite pretending to play in the sandbox of cryptozoological horror, Frogman ultimately functions as an unintentional parody of genre filmmaking.
Frogman accidentally functions, because he fucks.
The first hour is a meandering slog through faux character development, drenched in VHS nostalgia that feels more like a gimmick than a storytelling tool. The visual style is so aggressively lo-fi it borders on hostile, not atmospheric but migraine-inducing. There's no tension, no dread, no thematic depth, just three barely distinguishable slackers wandering through Ohio woods with all the urgency of a stoned field trip. It's cryptid horror for people who mistake grainy footage for authenticity. The titular creature, an unconvincing rubber suit whose screen presence ranks somewhere between a Chuck E. Cheese animatronic and a soggy carnival mascot. Its design is neither scary nor memorable, just wet and sad. The real horror, someone greenlit this with a straight face.
I mean, once again, I don't think anyone really greenlit it. It's an indie film. Like, I've got a review that's kind of similar to that. And I'm like, I don't think you know what you're talking about. 1 out of 10. This one cracked me up. Chuck the movie guy is a grifter. Chuck the movie guy on TikTok recommended this poorly acted, terribly paced, and awful found footage movie. He pushed this garbage for weeks to get people to rent it, and it was awful. The guy is a con man. Look, I'm not a smart man, all right? But I know when I'm being fed a bunch of BS. Well, I clearly not, because I think you watched the movie. I rented this movie off a bunch of wrecks from social media people. The ringleader was Chuck the movie guy. This guy really hates Chuck the movie guy.
Fucking Chuck.
That got an early viewing of it. All of them said it was a banger, slaps, or fantastic. LOL, no. It most certainly was not. Air was awful. I think he means it. Mm-hmm. The people that saw, so clearly not very smart, the people that saw this early must have gotten paid of getting something in return to hype this up, because again, it was god awful. Don't waste your money. I will never again rent any movie based off a wreck because they got an advanced copy of it. This was awful, and the score is at an 8 right not, and will most assuredly will drop to a 2 or 3 within a month when actual viewers, okay, that's what he's talking about, actual viewers review this movie like me, instead of friends and family giving it a 10. Junk movie. It's at like a 5 on IMDb, so also not right. It probably averaged out to probably right in the middle, which
middle
is
of the road
where
movie.
It is.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's a middle of the road movie.
This isn't a 1-star movie. It's also not a 10-star movie, but it's certainly not a 1-star movie.
Frogman ruined my night and possibly my life. 0 stars. This movie can go straight into the goddamn swamp it crawled out of. Frogman is the cinematic equivalent of being trapped in a porta potty with a broken VCR. Nothing happens for like an hour, except these chuckleheads talking about frogs and dad trauma like it's fucking Hamlet.
There's literally no dad trauma like discussed.
And the camcorder aesthetic, I'm guessing they're talking about his dad recording everything because he gets made fun of for right. that when he's leaving. And the camcorder aesthetic, bro, it's not immersive. It's a war crime. I had to pause the movie twice because I thought my retinas detached from the constant jittered VHS flicker. And when you finally get to the goddamn creature, it looks like a meth-addicted Kermit in a wrestling singlet. I've seen better effects on public access shows from 1996. No scares, no pacing, just a long, boring lead-up to a damp frog suit doing its worst Gollum impression. This wasn't a movie, it was a prank, and I fell for it. Burn every copy, salt the earth, yeet this shit into the river where it belongs.
No, I'll keep my copy forever. 2 out of 10. Terrible.
Terrible.
My admiration for found footage features brought me here. My inquisitive nature led me to this. But now I'm regretting my decision hard. I understand the financial restraints and the logistical challenges, but I cannot get behind the shortcomings in the writing. So you'd think, oh, they're gonna provide examples of the shortcomings in the writing. No, they don't. They just...
Ah, okay. I was gonna say, because you could.
The process of writing any story and turning the same into a film script does not mandate any unmanageable resources, and hence, lack of funds will not cut it as a passable excuse. Oh, so you're gonna like point out what those story issues are that make this bad. No. Frogman, despite having a novel idea, failed to provide thrills or even some degree of an excitement, and that is mainly due to its literary limitations. Once again, are you gonna provide examples? No, they're not. The writing sucks. None of the characters had depth, nor did they come off as likable. Not to mention, their performances are dramatic and far from convincing. I think my favorite thing recently has been the, like, this movie sucks because of XYZ. And then, oh, so you're going to provide an example of the thing that sucks about it.
No.
Nope, they're just going to keep saying that thing about it sucks and not say anything else.
It sucks, Jay. Take my word for it. Anyway... This was off Concerned Parents, Jay. This is a website you can go to if you want to see if things are appropriate for your children.
Oh, Frogman is appropriate for kids.
We thought it was a monster movie. It was a mistake. My husband and I love campy creature features. We even let our 14-year-old watch them with us, but he's not allowed to watch anything rated R.
Don't mind me, I'm just looking to see if the rating of this is R.
But Frogman was not fun. It was not spooky. It was not even interesting. It was a group of vulgar, aimless 20-somethings cursing into a camcorder and being generally unpleasant for an hour before a man in a Halloween costume that we probably could have bought at Spirit Halloween showed up to scream in their faces. We expected a lighthearted, scary little romp about a frog creature. What we got was borderline unwatchable, visually and narratively. The found footage angle meant the screen was constantly shaking and glitching, and several times we had to mute the sound because the static made our ears hurt.
I don't think the static was that noticeable at all.
It was hard to follow and even harder to care. And it was over, and my son just looked at us and said, "What was the point?" And we couldn't answer.
TVMA. If you're not letting your kid watch rated R movies, why are you letting your kid watch a TVMA thing? It doesn't have an official rating, because I'm sure it didn't,
yeah,
didn't,
it
get,
didn't get rated, probably.
MPAA rated. But it's a TVMA. Like, come on. Oh, yeah, yeah, closed out of my thing. Hold on.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
This one was bad. 1 out of 10. I'm on a FF streak right now. What do you think FF stands for?
Frog freaking.
I was going to say Fantastic Four. Future Foundation. I'm on a Fantastic Four streak right now, so I'm watching Frogman instead.
Exactly.
And I kept seeing this one come up. I've seen movies with stupid names.
Found footage.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
I've seen movies with stupid names, and they were awesome. Okay?
Yeah, that's right. They were awesome.
Yep.
All those stupid name movies.
So, I would say most movies probably have stupid names. Like,
well, I mean, see, this is another example of, I liked lots of movies with stupid names. Maybe list a couple as an example.
Yes, tell me one other one. So I figured this would end up being a little gem. This movie truly sucked. The minute you see the image frozen on screen at the beginning, I was definitely not hopeful. I trudged through the first half hour and couldn't stay awake. Started where I left off the next day and fell asleep. This movie is massively boring, and as I suspected, really cheesy, but not fun cheesy. I hated the characters, the acting was really bad, and the story wasn't interesting. I was waiting for something mildly interesting to come in and save the day. That did happen when the credits began. Ooh, this gives FF a bad rep. Oh, poor Fantastic Four.
Damn, it hasn't even been out yet.
Seriously, though, avoid this one. The title is not ironically silly. I mean, it's based off of a cryptid. Come on. It's a crappy film with zero redeeming qualities. I mean, I think the gore effects looked odd. Even if nothing else, the gore effects and like the all looked great. Like, come on. Or like the
goo effects.
The goo effects.
Yeah. Is that it?
I've got one more after that. But
okay, here we go. This one is from Movies Bloody Stool Gave Me AIDS on Reddit.
All right. Yeah, that's a Reddit username.
Apparently a popular movie reviewer on Reddit, Jay. Frogman, the death rattle of DIY horror. There are many forms.
No one tell Chris LaMartina. He already put out a new movie.
Too late, death rattle. There are many forms of death. Frogman is death by exposure. Prolonged, embarrassing exposure to every bad habit indie horror has refused to grow out of. Cousin's debut doesn't just borrow from the Blair Witch blueprint, it vomits it back up, smears it in TikTok irony, and slaps on a Monster Energy sticker. This aesthetic is VHS on VHS on VHS, because why build tension when you could just obscure the screen with visual vomit?
They don't really do it that often. Like, even though I complained about that, like, they don't do it that much.
The dialogue is a montage of bro energy and unresolved daddy issues. You know a movie's in trouble when its central emotional arc feels like a bad improv sketch that won't end. And the creature, if you told me it was built out of used car seat covers and CVS Halloween masks, I'd believe you. Even the third act, the only part with any forward motion, feels like it wandered in from a different, worse movie. If this is cryptid cinema's next great hope, it might be time to throw the whole swamp out.
Hmm. That's what I have to say to that.
Hmm.
Average Reddit user.
Yeah.
2 out of 10. This has to be a joke, right?
Does it?
Either the directors / actors took this film way too seriously, or this is all one supposed to be one big parody of the Blair Witch Project.
Yes, yes, yes.
If it is the former, then how embarrassing for everyone involved. If it is the latter, then it was too subtle on the parody part. No, it's supposed to be a found footage movie about Frogman. Like, come on, it's clearly not supposed to be a parody. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's a parody.
Unfortunately, it never comes close to reaching so bad it's good status. It's just bad. The thing that will make you the most uncomfortable watching this is knowing that anyone involved in making this movie no longer has a future in the film industry. No one tell this reviewer about Frogman Returns coming out.
Uh-oh.
You watch 90 minutes of people ruining their careers, and it's hard to watch. Only thing keeping this from getting one star is the makeup effects in some of the shots. Kudos to anyone who still uses practical effects. Hey, someone who, like, didn't like the movie, but at least acknowledges that the practical effects were pretty good.
Yeah, that's nice to see.
I mean, I still don't think that makes it a one-star movie, but whatever. Or a two-star movie in this case.
All right, I have one short one and then one one to finish off.
Here. All right.
So the short one, title, Bro No. Review, 90 minutes of guys with zero charisma talking about frogs. Frog shows up, looks like high school mascot, credits roll. Zero stars, would rather watch actual frogs for 90 minutes.
I also might want to watch 90 minutes of actual frog movie. Not in place of this, but afterwards.
Zero stars. Frogman made me lose my fucking mind. Let me tell you something, you slimy little amphibian apologists, you fat, pimple-faced, spirit Halloween-enjoying hacks. I watched Frogman on a dare, and now I sleep with a crowbar under my pillow because I'm afraid this festering VHS scrambled insult to God is going to crawl out of my TV and make me watch it again.
On a dare?
Yeah.
Who's daring people to watch? In 2025, who the fuck is daring people to watch movies?
I don't know. I might start daring you to watch movies.
Well, I mean, that's for garbage days.
This isn't a movie. This is a hate crime against storytelling. It is a snot-nosed tribute to the Blair Witch Project. If Blair Witch were concussed, pissed drunk, and filmed by three dudes with brain damage and a stolen camcorder from a pawn shop behind an Arby's. The first 45 minutes, just three fart-sniffing millennial rejects talking about frogs like it's the goddamn Book of Revelation. Oh, we saw a frog man once on a trip with my dad. Bro, I've seen a frog too. It doesn't mean I have to film myself crying about it for an hour while hiking with emotionally constipated Walmart stunt doubles. And then the fucking creature shows up. Holy shit. I have seen more threatening amphibians in the Rainforest Cafe animatronics. The frog man looks like Kermit the Frog lost custody of his kids, took up taxidermy, and wandered onto the set thinking it was an AA meeting. And the footage shot on a camera that apparently runs on black mold and regret. I don't know if it was glitching or if I was having a stroke from this movie, but either way, I hope this VHS tape catches fire in a Goodwill bin and spreads like cursed celluloid herpes. There is no plot. There is no arc. There is no point. There's just mud, wet denim, male tears, and a rubber suit that smells like Axe body spray and sadness. You could strap me to a chair and waterboard me with swamp juice, and I still wouldn't rewatch this steaming heap of cinematic roadkill.
Oh, Jeff, I'll waterboard you with swamp juice.
So will Frogman, apparently. I want my time back. I want my neurons back. I want to go back to a time when Frogman didn't exist. I didn't know that this movie could make me want to rip my own eyes out with a VHS tape rewinder, but here we are. Burn it. Throw it into the Loveland River and shoot anyone who tries to fish it back out. That's the...
All right. Well, you know, Jeff, I'm wondering... How many of these people, I think one of them mentioned the cryptid angle.
Yeah.
That like Frogman's actually a real thing, that this is based off of folklore, like cryptid folklore. I wonder if that would have improved any of these people's viewing, knowing that in advance.
Maybe. Honestly, I don't know.
I don't know, but like some of these people like don't seem to get kind of the joke that...
Yeah, they don't seem to really understand that Frogman is an actual thing that people go see.
Yep. Or... actual thing people,
I mean, it's a thing that exists in reality, not just the reality of this movie.
I'm just wondering how many people like, oh, what kind of dumb idea is Frogman? Well, ask the town of Loveland, Ohio.
It was a good idea to give a no name place on Ohio a place on the tourist map. That's what it was.
Yep. Well, Jeff, let's well, our bouncer's acting a little weird. He's looks like he's got some bite marks on him.
Oh boy.
But there's some frogmen that are trying to get in. We got to figure out where to put them on our VIP list.
I mean, with all the powers of the frogman, I think, and there's so many of them out there in the swamp.
They got to be better than the grabber.
Yeah, you know, the grabber, yeah, he would get frogman for sure.
Those zombies are unkillable. It's going to take some doing to get.
But I mean, if Frogman is capable of using his wand to influence their minds, could he control the zombies?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Or would his spreading rot disease affect them, or would it not?
That's the thing. I mean, we know the trioxin can reanimate half dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I assume the trioxin could or the zombies could then make the frogman's
zombie frogmans. Hmm.
Which then I think means the zombies are more powerful.
Theoretically, yes, but it's like I'm really stuck on the real question for this is, can the frogman control the zombies or not? Because they still have their mental faculties.
True, those ones are more powerful.
So I don't know.
Whew.
And there's a lot of frogmen out there in that swamp.
Do we kind of have a tie? Do we, for the first time ever, have a statistical tie?
Yeah, I think we're in for you Warhammer buffs out there, I think we're in an orcs versus Tyranids situation, where the two sides will just keep fighting each other forever.
Man, I'd pay to watch The Living Dead, The Return of the Living Dead versus Frogman.
Yes, just
make that next.
Yes, Return of the Living Dead zombies somehow wind up in the Frogman swamp. That'd be good.
Oh, give that to me now. Put that directly in my veins.
But yeah, I honestly think we have to believe him at a tie until Frogman returns and we see more of Frogman's powers.
Yep. All right. Well, Jeff.
Carpet Day.
How does Jay keep smuggling all these things into the resort? They said no outside food and drink, Jay.
There's no... Have you seen what, like, the people at the front desk are like now?
I was going to say, come to think of it, no staff has asked me any questions the entire time I've been here. It's kind of weird. Oh, boy.
All right, we've got chewy ice cream sandwich-inspired Chips Ahoy. I was going to save those till the end.
Okay, that's dessert.
We've got three different types of Gatorade to try.
All right. Delicious Haterade.
We've got Gatorade mashup, Cool Blue and Fruit Punch. That's why I got you that little cup.
Oh, okay.
There.
I was going to say, that's what the cup is for.
We've got Gatorade mashup, Lemon, Lime, and Orange.
Mmm, okay.
And we've got limited edition Aqua Blast, the Casey's exclusive, I think.
Mmm, interesting.
And every summer, you know, Lay's does those flavor challenges.
Yep.
Bacon grilled cheese.
Oh.
Korean style fried chicken.
Ooh.
Valentina and lime. Those are... We're eating big on Fat Boy Summer.
Apparently this is a big old Fat Boy Summer meal.
The Joe Bob cooler is closed.
Oh, thank God. Thought he was going to put something else out of there.
I'm going to try some Valentina and lime.
All right. I'm going to start with the bacon grilled cheese first.
I don't know that it's anything to write home about. It's good. But it's just like, I don't know, it's just lime and like Valentina hot sauce flavor.
Not really getting much of any kind of flavor off the bacon cheese.
It smells cheesy.
No, they smell good. It's not getting a whole lot of the flavor off of it. I even went back for a second chip. It's just not much there.
I'm getting cheese. I'm not getting I'm not getting bacon at all.
Yeah. Definitely getting the lime and hot sauce up that one. No. This Korean fried chicken's anything like the Korean fried chicken you can get over in Clive. It should be pretty good.
What Dak?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that place is good.
I
don't know what that is, but I don't think I would call it Korean fried chicken.
I was going to say, this is not fried chicken. Yeah, even on the second chip, I'm not really getting much.
Yeah, if I was going to keep one of those around, I guess I would keep the Valentina and lime around. Just because it does what it says.
Yeah, it's closest to the actual flavor.
All right.
All right, which Gatorade do you want to start with, Jay?
Here, let's start with Aqua Blast.
All right.
Just like Frogman, we're going to be blasting.
Yes, we're going to be blasting in the Aqua. It even looks like swamp water.
Oh, I would say pineapple, maybe a mango kind of scent.
Yep, yep. Not bad.
Very, like, fruit punchy.
Mm-hmm. It's got a light flavor. I like that in a Gatorade. I don't like it to be too overpowering.
Yep.
This is pretty solid.
All right, let's do mashups. Cool Blue and Fruit Punch.
Mm. That's two good Gatorades. Let's see what they're like together. Nice swamp water color. Good, good.
Yep.
Pretty good.
That's honestly not a bad flavor. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Cool Blue or of
Fruit Punch.
Fruit Punch. Mm. But I think, like,
together, yeah.
I think this one's actually pretty tasty.
Yeah, I get Cool Blue or Frost usually when I get it.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big light blue Frost Glacier Freeze fan.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Lemon, lime, and orange.
Hmm, we'll see.
Could be really good.
Not bad.
I'm not a big artificial orange guy.
Yeah.
But this is more like kind of a citrusy almost flavor. Certainly you don't get a ton of that artificial orange, which mm-hmm. is nice.
Not bad.
All right, now for dessert.
Now for a palate cleansing chip.
I think I would do probably the lemon lime orange at the bottom, then the Aqua Blast, and then probably the Cool Blue Fruit Punch.
Yeah, I'd agree. Oh God, here it comes. He's struggling with cellophane. He's smelling the cookies.
All right, so they're ice cream sandwich inspired. Also, these are the soft, chewy kind, not the hard, crunchy
standard
kind.
Ones. Yeah. I like both. I don't know if you're a soft or a hard guy.
I think I'm a little. It depends on the cookie.
Oh. Stupid zombie dropping my drink. Service sucks. I mean, it's not bad, but I don't know if I'm getting ice cream sandwich.
You know, when I opened the packaging up, I was like, oh, that doesn't smell good at all. It tastes better than it smells, so that's on the plus side.
No, I like the taste, but yeah, I'm not really getting an ice cream sandwich. If anything, it reminds me more of like one of those one of those birthday cookies you get that's like frosted on top. It's got more like that kind of flavor to me.
So it says chill for a treat. Now, I don't know, like I had these in the fridge. I don't know that they're much better cold. Frozen, they might be better.
Yeah, that could be.
But I almost wonder if you, like, I don't know, put these in, like, the microwave for, like, 10 seconds. If kind of that vanilla frosting in the middle that's supposed to simulate, like, the ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, if that would, like, warm up and if that would maybe be, like, a little gooier. And if it might be better that way, almost.
That could be, yeah.
I don't know. It's not a huge hit, but I think lately we've been kind of unimpressed with the Chips Ahoy's.
Yeah, they haven't been great.
As opposed to Oreo, which, goddamn, they're...
They never miss, yeah. Jay. They never miss.
But yeah, I mean, Valentina, lime, best Lay's chip, probably. Yeah.
I'd say if we were ranking the food, probably cookies at the top, just because none of the chips were that impressive.
Yep.
The Valentinas were the best of the chips, but that's not saying much, because the other two didn't really taste like anything.
No, exactly. I'd probably do the grilled cheese and then probably the Korean fried chicken, because the Korean fried chicken didn't taste like anything.
It's nothing close to Korean fried chicken.
Oh, God, I could go for some Korean
fried
chicken.
I want to go get that right now.
All right, well, let's finish this up. Get in touch with us on social media. Send us an email. Be a part of our Garbage Day segment. That way, Jeff and I don't have to keep eating garbage. We probably still will.
Well, we will.
But it means we don't have to keep doing it.
No, we're obligated to now.
HorrorForTheHolidays@gmail.com for emails. Social media, we are all the places. We are at Horror4Holidays. That's Horror, the number 4 Holidays.
Indeed. Go to our YouTube channel. Check us out. YouTube.com/HorrorForTheHolidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us a comment. Of course, if you're going to leave us a review on any of the podcatchers, make it 0 stars if I could, but a 5-star review, of course.
Yeah, that's the way we know you're a real sicko.
But yeah, YouTube comments are a good place if you want to reach us, contact us about something, if you don't want to send us an email, because I know people can't be bothered with email these days. So just leave us a comment there or in one of your reviews on one of the podcast episodes. Go ahead and leave it.
Most importantly, best way to spread the word, tell a friend, to help other people get involved, you know, help build this community. You know, there's people like Matt Dupay out there, and there's people like Rusty Bells on Instagram who, you know, kind of try to keep the seasonal horror thing kind of going. I'd say Sammy Hain does a bit of that as well.
Mike Lombardo.
But like, it's a pretty, like, you know, holiday horror is a little more niche, but if you've got someone who you think would appreciate getting involved, you know, let them know about us, and you know, we can start having that conversation and you know, and just kind of spread the word.
Or, you know, if they're just a regular horror fan, maybe ease them in with a spooktacular episode that you like, or one of these Fat Boy Summers.
Yep. Probably a spooktacular episode. Yeah. These Fat Boy Summers. Oh, it's been a mess.
What a mess of a Fat Boy Summer, Jay.
Oh, these Fat Boys, they're so messy.
Well, that could have been expected.
They're messy bitches, those Fat Boys. Lastly, they're not going to be proud to have us on the
Christmas Podcast Network.
We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. All the places. They're great. Totally Rad Christmas Holidays After Dark, Seasons Eatings, Christmas Creeps, Advent Calendar House, all that good stuff.
Jerry D, mail me snacks.
Oh, man. Yeah, keep Jerry D. We're you hear that mystical boinging?
Yeah,
the ghost samurai is coming for you.
I hear it all the way from Wisconsin. The mystical boinging.
Also, heads up: we are gonna take a week off. We've just done 4 weeks of movies in a row, and boy, are my arms tired. No, we just need a little refresher break. Yeah,
we're taking a break because guess what, folks? The spooktacular is not far away.
Yeah, we're gonna. I think what we're planning on is we're gonna take a break now. Then we'll come back with regular episodes, regular intervals.
Because the next mainline episode will be the start of season 4.
And then I think the week before the spooktacular starts. So whatever that would be, September. I'm doing this on the fly. Hold on.
Would that be the week of the 22nd?
I think you're right. Yeah, the September 20th, we will skip to September 22nd, yep. And we will then the 29th will start the spooktacular number 3.
Spooky.
Extra spooky. But anyway, in 2 weeks, we'll see you for Christmas Craft Fair Massacre.
Indeed. And if you're a real sicko freak, start checking out the stocking stuffers, because I'm going to be dropping some of Uncle Pignickle's Midnight Tales.
Oh, boy. Watch out.
Get to know them before they're out.
Watch out for get you some of that long pig.
Mm.
A taste that's mighty familiar.
Mm-mm, good, Jay.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll see you in 2 weeks for Christmas Craft Fair Massacre. Chris Massacre is something completely different. Christmas Craft Fair Massacre.
Cut the feed. We're getting Frogman.
Bye. Oh.